Chris Lorton here for WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show, where you can hear the inside stories from the locals of our community. As you know, everybody's got a story, and here at WJBM Local Spotlight, we're looking to get that story shared. My guest today, another old friend. We're all friends. All my friends are old. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well,
My guest, Wayne Schell. Welcome, Wayne Schell.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. Glad to have you.
Yeah.
One of the Schell boys, one of the Schell kids,
yes.
Right? Total of 13 of you.
Yes, correct.
Yes. And I understand you were the oldest son.
I am indeed.
The oldest son. Yes. Tell me a little bit just about growing up in the household, just a little bit. I heard Jim's story.
But yeah.
How about he was the youngest.
Yes.
So how about the oldest son? What's the story going up?
Well, I'll try to make this fairly brief. My parents, they had two children first. My older sister, she's 1 year older than me. Then they had me. And then they had 2 years. And then another sister. So there were two girls at 4 years of marriage. There were two girls and one boy.
Yeah.
And then there were two more years and there were no children. So for the earliest years, there was really just three of us.
Yeah. How old were your mom and dad when they got married?
My dad was 22 and my mom was 22 and my dad was 24.
They were close.
They weren't yet.
13 and 14.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. So, they married in 47. My sister was born in 48. I was born in 49. And then 2 years later, my second sister. But then there were two more years, and then they got into high gear, basically. they had four boys almost like a year apart, every one of them.
Yeah.
And there were four boys. So, and then there was another girl, a boy, and then three girls and a boy. So it wound up, there is almost like two large families there.
My question for you is, being the oldest son,
yeah,
okay, and having all these youngsters coming underneath of you.
Yes.
How was that? I mean, did you feel like a second father or something?
Not so much a second father. I definitely felt like a role model for my younger brothers.
Okay.
In a sense that they definitely did pick up on a lot of the things, especially in the culture and especially musical things that I brought into the family. So, and that's another thing, I guess, in a sense, our family is known as musical family, but my parents were not musicians, but we did listen to music an awful lot in our younger years. We listened to recordings. We had 45s and LPs to play, and our parents loved music. They listened to the radio a lot. They danced. They were good dancers.
Okay.
And so there was a lot of music in our household, but as far as starting to actual play music, I was the first person to do that. And then eventually my four younger brothers got interested in it also. And we all started pretty much playing guitar. Then we began to play together, and then we began to add other instruments. It kind of grew from there to the point of where probably almost all of my siblings have played guitar somewhat or still do play, and some of them are really into it.
Now, you are a family man. And you've been married for how long?
I have been married. This will be my 50th anniversary this month.
Oh, yeah. 50 years.
50
wow.
years, yeah.
And your lovely wife?
My wife, Bonnie, is from Chicago. We met at college. I was a senior in college. She was a freshman. And we started dating and eventually got married in 1974 in Chicago and then lived there 5 years before we returned here.
Now, What did you do? What was your occupation when you got out of college?
My first job out of college, I worked at Illinois Veterans Home. And I worked there for 2.5 years in the activity department. Illinois Veterans Home was a huge institution. It had 1,200 residents.
Wow.
It was in Quincy. And So I went. I graduated from Quincy College, went to work at Illinois Veterans Home in 1971.
Wait a minute. I thought you went to Chicago.
I moved to Chicago after
living in Quincy. Oh, after college. Yes. Okay, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, I graduated from college in 1971. I went to work at Illinois Veterans Home in 1971.
Right.
Stayed there in Quincy for 2.5 years, and then I moved to Chicago and stayed there 5 years.
Yes.
And then we returned to
Chicago. What did you do in Chicago?
Well, when I first moved there, I was a professional musician.
Oh, really?
I did that for about 18 months, and then I went back into geriatric care, and I worked in two different nursing homes in Chicago for 3 or 4 years before coming back
here. When you were a professional musician,
yeah.
Would you play the guitar or the violin?
I was a guitar player at that time, but I played the bass in a band, a country rock band.
I see.
And we were always hoping to get a big contract, but we did not get one. And
what did Bonnie do?
She was still in school at that time. She was in nursing school.
Okay.
And so she was a LPN for in Chicago, and then she also worked as an LPN once we moved back here.
And as far as children, how many children did you end up having?
We have 5 children.
5?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and we had our first daughter, Maura, was born 1981. Our son, Nick, was born in 1983. Emily, 1985. So the first 2 years, we had a child every 2 years. And then we had a 5-year period when we had no children. Then we had 2 more, and they were 3 years apart. So 2 more girls. Julie, mm-hmm, was born in 1990, and Allison, 1993.
Are all your children musicians as well?
No, but they all have dabbled a little, and some more than others that have gotten interest. But it's kind of a sideline or just something that when I say they have played, like my daughter Maura plays the guitar, my son Nick plays many instruments, my daughter Emily plays the guitar, but they don't. It's not the passion that it is for me.
Maddie Schell,
yes,
who recently played at Rock the Block,
mm-hmm,
and I had heard that you were a big influence on her.
I was. We actually had a period when we were performing in Grafton at the Piesaw Pub, and there was a period of a couple of years there where we played every Friday night, and I think that's one of the things that really helps develop a person, regular playing. So if you have a gig where you play every week, mm-hmm, just playing every week on a very consistent basis really helps develop your skills that you need to perform. So she developed it. I would say during that period, she moved and became a lot more professional. But then she decided to make it her profession.
Yeah.
And since then, she's really, really worked hard and done an awful lot of performing. And that's what it takes.
Now, for example, like Maddie, how many hours would you suspect that she works practicing her music? 8 hours a day?
No, I don't know. It would be hard to do that much.
Okay.
But because that's an awful lot, 8 hours a day. But I would imagine that she might spend easily 3 or 4 hours a day on some part of it, uh-huh, like either perfecting a song or maybe writing a song, because she writes songs and she's got some really nice ones.
Mm-hmm. I know she does.
Yeah, and then she and then you also want to be able to make a song have it in a such a condition as you can perform it by yourself, and then you add other performers to it to add more ornamentation.
Now, with you being retired,
yeah,
over the last several years, how many hours do you put in a week playing
music?
Yeah, playing music. I mean, as far as practicing and just playing on stage.
Yeah, I do try to practice at least an hour a day.
Okay.
Okay, so to begin with, so in fact, before I came here, I practiced 45 minutes this morning.
Okay.
And then, but then I have gigs scheduled. And so usually if I'm playing a gig, it's going to run from, it'll probably be 3 or 4 hours, you know, doing a gig.
Tell me about your gigs.
Yeah.
What kind of music are you playing and where do you play at?
Okay, so where you could find me most consistently is at Morrison's Irish Pub in Alton. Okay, so we kind of created a community there of singers that come in and they sing Irish music. And it's every Thursday night from 6 to 9 at Morrison's Irish Pub. And we did this ever since the pub opened up. So we have been playing there ever since it opened.
And that's been a while.
And it's been 9 years.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. And so every Thursday I go down there and at 6 o'clock. We start singing some songs. We always really start with the same 5 or 6 songs. And then after that, anybody who's there and wants to lead a song can lead one. But we have a lot of people that come on a regular basis. So we know we're going to have enough songs to sing at least 3 hours.
I'll be darned. Now, are you playing the fiddle the whole time?
I'm not playing the fiddle there at all on Thursdays. No, I play the guitar. And then
we play guitar.
Yeah, okay. And much of it is a cappella, too. I mean, so a lot of times there's just singing and no playing. So we come in. We don't have any sound equipment. I play an acoustic guitar, and Nick Newberry will play the accordion. So we're the only two musicians actually playing there. But we will have as many as 10 singers, which is amazing. Because, you know, and these singers have come so consistently that they have learned enough songs that this group of singers, these 10 more or less, can sing for more than 3 hours. We could sing 5 hours if we wanted to not repeat stuff.
Do you get a pretty good crowd?
We do get a good crowd of people. I think people come in and they're just amazed by it. They haven't seen something like that happen in a pub before.
Yeah. I mean, it's now, are you Irish?
Yes, on my mother's side. Yeah, my mother is very from an Irish family. It's a Gibbonses.
I see. Now, a question about the fiddle and the violin.
Sure.
They're the same instrument.
They are the same instrument. And
but what's the difference? Why do some people call it the fiddle, some people call it the violin?
I think it has to do with the difference in music itself, because there are classical music. When you say classical music, a lot of people think that, you know, that's something they wouldn't like. Maybe, but you hear it all the time in movies. Like when you hear movie soundtracks, you know, that's an orchestra.
Sure.
You know, so classical music and orchestral music is a very important form. And so it uses violins. So the typical orchestra would probably have 6 or 7 violin players in an orchestra. And so, and they would all refer to that as violin. And it's very complicated. So to have the skills to be in an orchestra, you have to be a tremendously skilled player.
Have you ever played in an orchestra?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Did you ever want to?
No, I think it's above my pay grade. You know, really, honestly, those people are amazingly skilled. You know, the skill level you have to have is tremendous.
Okay. Where are some of the places that you have played over your career?
Well, we kind of will be talking about the fiddler. I'll be playing the fiddle here today, but I have played, since I've played guitar and I've played mandolin and banjo. And one of the places that I mentioned to you earlier is that when you had the hotel, I wrote a play. At that time, I was sort of starting out on the fiddle, starting to perform on the fiddle. And I was playing at the time at Pier Marquette Lodge, and I would play there like every other weekend on a Sunday. And I thought, it occurred to me that it would be more interesting to the public if I played the banjo or the fiddle rather than the guitar, because there are so many guitar players out there.
Right.
And I just thought it would be more interesting. And I also thought, well, why not dress in costume? So I made a costume of a person that might be from the 19th century. and dressed like that, and then would play in the banjo and the fiddle, and it worked very well as far as people responding well to it. And so then I decided I would put together a little some text, some poems that I could recite, some stories that I could tell with the music. And I created a little play called Rowdy Old River Music. And I performed this play out on a riverboat. I was at one point I was performing on the Belle of Grafton. Okay. During this time period. And I would do the same music and use these stories and poems on at Pierre Marquette. So eventually I was able to get enough to collect it together, and we did a little dinner theater thing at the hotel that you owned at that time.
Yep, and I think it was in the mid-90s.
Yes.
At some point in time, I can't remember exactly when.
Right.
But I do remember that for sure. So, again, the difference between a violin and a fiddle.
So most.
I mean, I guess it's just you're saying, go ahead, you can play.
And most people that play the fiddle just use the fiddle. I mean, as far as the word they would use to say, I play the fiddle. But I would tell people I play the violin, and it doesn't mean that automatically they think I'm playing Irish or think I'm playing classical music. So, and essentially it's, you know, music I think comes down to just technique and ideas. So the technique that you need to play classical is very high bar. So, but to play folk music or most other violin playing is maybe quite less challenging.
Yes. So the difference basically got classical, which maybe people call the violin.
Right.
And then in folk music, it's called the fiddle.
I would say so,
But when I have been down to Nashville several times, you know, and the fiddle players, the violin players down there are just fantastic.
They're very good.
Yeah, very good. And it makes a difference whether you have a fiddle in the band.
Yes.
You know, and I think there's even a song about that.
I think there is.
But
for country music.
Yeah, having a fiddle makes a difference.
Yeah, and the fiddle, you know, another really big feature is most people, before we had recorded music, before people were able to make recordings, and I think the first recordings would have been in the early 19, you know, between 1910 and 1920. So before that, people played live music. That's what they did all the time. So many people back in the, say, early 1930s in Jersey County would have heard fiddle music on a very regular basis because they would have gone to a dance and there would have been a fiddle player playing for the dance. And you could have just one fiddle player, and that could be a that could be the music for a dance. So a lot of the music that I play even today is still music that was originally intended to dance to.
I see. So where are you playing? You play at the Irish pub.
Yeah.
And any other places you're playing these
days?
Well,
I also, like I mentioned, the Thursdays that we have the Thursday night, and we call that a shanty night because we sing sea shanties. That's part of it. But we also sing Irish songs and just whatever we want. But I also play there with a band called the Wild Geese, and we play Irish music. So I would probably play the fiddle on. So those are generally on a weekend, on like a Saturday night at Morrison's we play, and I have a Facebook page for the Wild Geese so you could see when that happens.
Okay. Well, what do you think about picking up your fiddle right now and give us a little debut? What do you say?
Sure. Let's do it. So I gave some thought as to what to play, and I have to make sure I don't bump into anything because it's a little... because when you're moving this bow, it's easy to knock into something and
we'll take that into consideration.
So I'm going to play this tune called Miss McLeod's Reel. And this was an Irish tune, but it also transitioned over into American music. So many, many American fiddle players play this. And this definitely would have been a dance tune. Thank you.
you. Very good. Very good. Enjoyed it. Yes. Well, before you put that away.
Okay. Yeah.
One more time. All right. We were talking about, you know, there's a lot of emotion.
Sure.
In songs. So.
Right.
If I just said, hey, give me happiness. What's your thing on happiness?
I kind of think the one I just played would have been
the happiness. Yeah, it was happiness. Happy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got another one?
Yeah, for happiness?
Just a short bite.
Yeah, here we go.
How about sadness? Can you give me one on sadness?
Yeah.
I gotta get some Kleenex. I'm crying over here.
that I actually played that tune at my brother's funeral.
I know, that's what I was thinking. That'd be a great funeral song.
Yeah,
very
good. Well,
I mean, as far as songs, I mean, it's very, very,
yeah,
very
it's,
nice.
It's called Ashokan Farewell.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Well, Wayne, any last words to wrap up this interview? And thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, yeah,
Wayne Schell live here at WJBM.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing, and I think you've got a good future here ahead, and be happy to come back at any time. And I want to say more power to you, Chris.
Well,
you're doing great.
Thanks for coming in, and appreciate you. We'll see you out there.
Okay.
Thank you.